Today's daf is daf Yud Gimel. We're holding the second line from the top of the Umid, where the Gemara says, Om Rav Nachman, Om Rav, Alocha Kireb Yehuda. Who's Rabbi Yehuda? So we had a three-way machloikis, as you will recall, back in the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Umid Beis. And this is Nagila Halucha Rabbi. We're talking about every Erev Pesach. How late can you continue eating the chumetz? So we had a three-way machloikis. If you go back to the Mishnah, Yud Aleph Amid Beis, Rav Meir says you can eat chumetz kol chomesh, which means until roughly 11 o'clock, right? We're assuming that the day begins at 6. So you add almost 5 hours, not almost, kol chomesh, 5 hours, 11 o'clock. And then you burn it at 12 o'clock. Rabbi Yehuda says you can only eat chumetz kol arba until 10 o'clock. And then toilim kol chomesh, the next hour you take a break, and again you burn it at 12 o'clock. And then Ram Gamliel at the end of the Mishnah says, you can eat chulin until 10 o'clock, truma until 11 o'clock, and burn the chometz at 12. The burning, everybody agrees, is at 12. That's nothing to discuss.
The
I'm sorry, Nachum.
Pushing it, having it in the morning anyway.
Yeah.
Excuse me, is it at 12 or is it Tchila Sheish, which would be 11? Tchila Sheish should be 11:01.
You're right. I'm sorry. Tchila Sheish means not exactly at 12, because 12 would already be the Araisa. So Tchila Sheish means towards, I don't know whether it means 11:01 or 11:05, but it means in the earlier part of the sixth hour. You're absolutely right. You're Shekoyach. But bottom line is that we have a major machloket between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Gamliel as to how late you can eat on Erev Pesach. According to Rav Meir, you can eat until the end of the fifth hour, meaning until 11. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can eat until the end of the fourth hour, which means 10. And Rav Gamliel comes up with a new pattern. He says you can eat until 10, but you can eat truma until 11. Okay, how do we bask in these three shittos? Now we have on the Gemara, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, second line, Om Reb Nachman, Om Rav Allah, Kereb Yehuda, we bask in like Reb Yehuda. Om Le Rav, Le Rav Nachman, so Rav said to Rav Nachman, the name of Mar Halach Kereb Meir, we should look at your pask in like Kereb Meir. Why the Sosan Lam Tana Kano Kavosei? Because we find a Stam Mishnah without anyone being Cholek, like Reb Meir Titnan, like we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Chof Aleph, that's going to be the beginning of the next perek, the famous perek of Kol Shoah. And how does the Mishnah begin? Kol Shoah Shemuter Lechoil Ma'achil. And therefore the Gemara assumes that that's probably talking a Liba de Reb Meir. Now why does the Gemara assume it's talking a Liba de Reb Meir? Because, as you may recall, back in our Mishnah, when we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can eat until 10, and then tolin kol chamesh, which means don't eat, but you don't have to burn the chametz yet, Rashi said that during that hour, although you cannot eat, you can go and give to your animals to eat. That's what Rashi said back in the Mishnah. If you want to take a quick look at that Rashi once again, on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, sorry, you have to do your fingers have to do the walking here. So if you look back at the Rashi on Yud Aleph Amid Beis, in the Mishnah, it said, Tolin Kol Chomesh. Rashi in the Mishnah, Tolin Kol Chomesh, about a quarter down the Amud. Tolin Kol Chomesh, says Rashi, Ve'enei Oichel, the To'i, you might make a mistake, Ve'sobal Shvi'ishi Chomeshes. Umu'ilistroif Eina Tzorach, in the fifth hour you don't have to burn. Uma'achil Lebehemtoi, during that 1 hour of the Tolin, although you can no longer eat yourself, you can give chametz to the behemoth. The reason for this is because although it's osir ba'achila, it's still mutter behano'ah. You're allowed to have benefit from this chametz. So therefore, I can't eat it, you can't eat it, but we can go and give it to our dogs, to our cats, to our cattle. We can go and give them chametz for the fifth hour. So now, yes.
When Rafi says, Einot Sorech, Lisrof,
you are allowed to burn if you want.
You are allowed to,
yes,
but
you can burn it today. The Kuvit Pesach, you can go and burn today all the chametz you want.
Right, but is there an end time?
Yes, there's an end time. That's the Mishnah.
Of burning.
Yes, that's the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Beautus oichlin kol arba, toilin kol chamish, v'sarven betchila shesh." Then you have to go and burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour.
And by when?
The end has to be no later than 11:59 and 59 seconds.
A burning.
A burning, yeah. Hello, David.
I gotcha. Okay.
Good?
The 6 hours of burning time.
6 hours of burning time. Perfect. So getting back to our Gemara now, getting back to Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, we're learning in the Mishnah Kol Sho'or Shemuter Le'achol Machil, as long as you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to feed to your animals. So now let's make an inference. It's Mashma only because you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to go and give to your animals. What about when at that point when you're no longer allowed to eat? Then apparently you cannot give to your animals. Well, that's not like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says starting at 10, you can no longer eat, but you can continue giving to your animals to eat. So that certainly flies in the face of what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Achila and Hanoa is the same time period. As long as you can eat, you can go and give to your animal, which sounds like, but if you can no longer eat, you can no longer give to your animal. That's not true. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can no longer eat at 10, but you can no longer eat on your own, but you can continue giving to eat to your animals for the next hour. This only stems according to Reb Meir, that Reb Meir says you continue eating throughout the fifth hour, and during that fifth hour, not only can you eat, you can go and give to your animals to eat. So Zoktimar Lechoyer, that's exactly like Reb Meir and not like Reb Yehuda. So why is Reb Nachman saying in the name of Rav, we pass on like Reb Yehuda? I have a Stam Mishnah at the beginning of the next Perek, which is Lechoyer, word for word, what Reb Meir holds and not what Reb Yehuda holds. Everything where he loves Stamahi. No, this Mishnah, in fact, although it says Lav Stamah, it is a Stam Mishnah, but it doesn't go in accordance with Reb Meir. Why not? Mishum Dekasha, because the word mutter seems to be out of place, or not really out of place, it's superfluous. Why is it superfluous? Because one could have done you could have had a shorter Mishnah. The Mishnah could have simply said, Kol Sho'a She'oichel Machil. Kol Sho'a She'oichel Machil. Why does it say Kol Sho'a She'muter Le'achol Ma'achil? It should just simply say Kol Sho'a She'oichel. As long as you eat Ma'achil, you can give your behemoth to eat. What do you need that word mutter for? And based on this, the Gemara says in the next Perek that in fact the Mishnah does not go like Reb Meir. It goes like Raman Gamliel. What do you mean that it goes like Rabbi Gamliel? Because remember, what did Rabbi Gamliel say at the end of the Mishnah? Rabbi Gamliel said that although you can only eat chulin until 10, you can go and eat truma until 11. And therefore, as Rashi explains here, and as the Gemara explains in the second parak, the way you should read the Mishnah is the following. Kol sho'a shemuter lechol. As long as somebody out there has the right to eat. Who's that somebody? Yeah. Not me. Because I am not a Kohen. But Kol Sho'a She'muter Le'achol, that someone, the Kohanim are allowed to eat their Truma. Because remember, Rabbi Gamliel says the Kohanim can eat their Truma even in the fifth hour. Then I and you, Yisraelim, Machil, we can go and give our animals to eat. So therefore, the Muter Le'achol is not referring to the one that's feeding the animal, but it's referring to the Kohanim. Kol Sho'a, as long as the Kohanim are Muter Le'achol, they can go and eat their Truma. Then I can go and give my animals to eat. Look at the Rashi Bishim Dekasha. Mutter, third narrow line. Beperach kosho makshinan. The Gemara there asks, kosho she'oichelu machel miboyelei. Why does it not need to say kosho she'mutter lechel? It should say kosho she'oichel machel. Umutter mashma, and therefore the extra word mutter seems to indicate kosho she'mutter odam acher lechol, if somebody else is able to eat during that period of time, meaning the kohen is able to eat his truma, then I machel zeh ha'aser lechol. Then, even though I can no longer eat, but at least I can continue to be ma'achil. Umidoch gadol kushya ukim lekram gamliel. And because of this difficult extra word, mutter. The word mutter should mean it's permissible. And it turns out that the word mutter over here is prohibited. What do we need the word mutter for? Because of this difficulty. We say that the Mishnah goes to Kram Gamliel. And therefore, once again, how do we read the Mishnah in Perek Kosho? Kosho shemutter koyin lechel betruma. As long as the koyin can continue eating truma, then machel Yisrael chulin lebehema al mestama loikra meir. So we see clearly that that Mishnah is not like Rameir. It's like Raman Gamliel. So don't ask a kasha on Rav Nachman or Rav. Why are you paskining like Rabbi Yehuda? Paskin like Rameir because I have a beferish in Mishnah. Stam Mishnah like Rameir. No, it's not like Rameir. In fact, it's like Ram Gamliel. Okay, it's fine. The name of Mara Lachiram Gamliel, the Havale Machria. Why don't we pass him like Ram Gamliel? Because he is the Yobai Hakosav Ashlishi Viachria Beinayim. He's the one that tries to bridge the gap between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Now, before we explain what that means, Lachir the Gemara could have asked a much simpler kasha. The name of Mara Lachiram Gamliel, the Sosim Lun Tana Kavasei. Just like we said, Loit Reb Meir, that we should pass like Reb Gamliel because the first Mishnah in Perek Kol Shah is exactly like Reb Gamliel. So pass like Reb Gamliel. Anyway, that's not my kasha, that's the Toysis kasha on top. Ayin Shom for Toysis is Teretz. But what does the Gemara mean over here when the Gemara says, the name of Mara Loch Reb Gamliel, the Havali Machriya? So what the Rashi explains very, very simply. We have a machlokes here between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda. Now, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, neither of them mention a word vis-a-vis Truma. And therefore, the assumption is that when they said in the Mishnah, Reb Meir Oymer Oichlin Kol Chomesh, it means you can eat Chulin and Truma Kol Chomesh for the entire 5 hours until 11 o'clock. When Reb Yehuda says, Oichlin Kol Arba, apparently what he is saying is, you can eat Chulin and Truma until 10 o'clock. And now Reb Gamliel comes on the scene and says, Rabbeisai, I'm going to make a pshara. I'm going to paskin a little bit like Reb Meir, and I'm going to paskin a little bit like Reb Yehuda. I'm going to paskin like Reb Meir. Reb Meir said you can eat for 5 hours. True, but only true ma. You cannot go and eat chulin 5 hours. That's 4 hours. Reb Yehuda, you said you can go and eat chulin and truma until the fourth hour, until 10 o'clock. True, but only the chometz is until the 4 hours. The truma you can continue eating into the fifth hour. And therefore, Ram Gamliel is really taking positions half like Reb Meir. The Reb Meir says you can eat until 11 o'clock. Yes, I agree with you, Reb Meir. Gabi Truma. Reb Yehuda says you can go and eat until 10 o'clock. Says Ram Gamliel, I agree with you. Gabi Chulin. So therefore, L'choira, we should paskin like the Das HaMachria. And that's a general rule in Shas that when you have a three-way machloikas of this type, and the third one is Yovei HaKosav Ashlishi V'Achriya Beinayim. If he makes kind of a nice compromise, we should pass him like Ram Gamliel. Everyone Omalei, Ram Gamliel La Machriyahu, Tam Danav Sheka Omar. So what the Gemara is telling us is something very important. And that is, when do you say Yovei HaKosav Ashlishi V'Achriya? That's when the earlier two have been speaking about all of those items, and now the third one comes and says, you know what, I'll paskin a little bit like you, and a little bit like you. And therefore, if in fact the Mishnah had said expressly, Om Reb Meir, or Reb Meir Oimer, Oichlin Bein Chulin Ubein Truma Kol Chomesh, and Reb Yehuda would say, Oichlin Bein Chulin Ubein Truma Kol Arba, then you're right. Says Reb Gamliel, I'm going to pick and choose. I'm going to paskin like Reb Yehuda by Chulin, I'm going to paskin by Truma like Reb Meir. But they didn't mention a word about Truma. They only spoke about Chulin. Didn't mention a word. The word Truma doesn't appear until the very end of the Mishnah. And therefore, you have to assume it's about Chulin because most of Klal Yisrael doesn't eat Truma. Only the select Kohanim, the elite of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, says Rashi, when Ram Gamliel now introduces this inyan of Truma, it's like they were talking about apples and Ram Gamliel throws in oranges. In other words, they didn't mention anything about the Truma. So Reb Gamliel is learning Chulin Kol Arba like Reb Yehuda, but when he says Truma Kol Chomesh, he's not being Machriya and saying, and now I'm learning like Reb Meir. Reb Meir didn't mention the word Truma. I don't know what Reb Meir holds by Truma. I mean, theoretically, you would think that if he holds you can eat Chulin Kol Chomesh, he would hold that you can eat Truma Kol Chomesh. But since he didn't address it, it's that you have a machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda about Chulin, and now Reb Gamliel says, don't forget about Truma! Truma is very important. And of course it's very important, but they weren't talking about that. So therefore that's not considered a das machras for our purposes. And therefore, that Mishnah in Koshor doesn't help me to paskin like Reb Meir, nor like Reb Gamliel, and therefore we come back to Rav Nachman Omer Rav, we paskin like Reb Yehuda. And the boy is saying, Nochabshat, Rav the Omaki Haitana. Rav found another Tana of a Braisa, the Sanya. Says in the Braisa the following. And it's a fairly lengthy Braisa, an easy Braisa, but it goes on for about 10, 15 lines, as you'll see. Arba Osa Shechol Yos B'Shabbos. In those odd years, which by the way I believe is this year as well, that Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. I say it's odd because it causes many difficult halachic problems, as we'll see. So what do you do then? So what's the issue? Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. By the way, there was some sort of call on the west side, but I put it down. Good, no problem. 88th and Riverside, I think. So Shteitach do that, Nochamu. State in the Braisa, 14th day falls out on Shabbos. Now, one of the major things that we do on the 14th day, of course, is we do Bir Chometz. You cannot do Bir Chometz if it's Shabbos. So what do you have to do? Says the Braisa, Mavarnes HaKol Lefnei HaShabbos. What you have to do is do your entire Bir Chometz before Shabbos. This Sorfin, and you have to burn not only the Chulin, but also Trumois, Temeyois, Tuluyois, Utahoyrois. You have a whole bunch of truma. You're a kohen, you have a whole bunch of truma. Some of the truma happens to be tohor. Some of it happens to be, unfortunately, tameh. Some of it is tluya, meaning I'm not sure whether it's tameh or tohor. Burn all of it before Shabbos. What you should do is, of course, umeshayrim and atahoris mosn shtei sudas kedei lechel adalit choice. But what you do leave, of course, is don't burn anything and everything that you have to leave over some food. Just like we do on the eve of the 14th, that we do our full Bedikas Chametz, and then we make sure to set aside at least enough food for breakfast for the next morning, so that we don't have a problem of leaving over nothing. So here too, for Shabbos, you have to leave over two sudas. The reason why the Gemara used the expression two sudas instead of three sudas, says Rashi, because you cannot eat another Suda in the afternoon. You can only eat the Friday night Suda, and you can eat the Shabbos morning Suda before 12, but you cannot go and eat another Suda after 12 o'clock. So therefore, only two Sudas. I'm sure many of you are saying, yeah, but our minig is mitzatayl tzuch the Seder, which means that after the fish or whatever, we go and bench, and we wait a half an hour, and we go and do, we wash again for a third Suda, for sure. But this Braisa does not go in accordance with that custom, because the halacha, in halacha there are many poskim that hold that you're only mechuyev and you're only yotzei shalashudis after mincha on Shabbos. You obviously cannot daven mincha before 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock is still shachris and musaf time. It's not mincha time. And so therefore what our Gemara is telling us is that you only have the ability to go and eat two sudas Friday night and Shabbos morning before 12, and we're ignoring that minig of splitting the suda, so put away two sudas on Erev Shabbos. Okay, so far so good. So far it's unrelated to anything that we've spoken about. But the important thing is, continues the Braisa, Umashayim and Atahiris Mazin Shtudis Shtei Sudais Kedei Lechel Ad Dalid Shois. So you can go and eat Shabbos morning until 10 o'clock. That's Reb Yehuda. Oh, Brother Shai says we have a Beferish, a Braisa like Reb Yehuda. Okay, but we're not finished the Braisa yet. Who said this? Divir Reb Lozer ben Yehuda Ish Bartusa Shom Mishim Reb Yeshua. Reb Lozer is the one that said this halach. Now, we're not arguing on the Dalit choice, but what we are arguing now is, Amrulai, the Chachamim, said to Reb Lozer ben Yehuda, you said that on Erev Shabbos we should burn not only the Trumais Teluyois, Utameyois, but even the Trumais Tehoirois. They said, Amrulai, Tehoirois? No, Lo Yisrafu. Don't go and burn the Tehoirois. See where the choice is, my Lab Nachrim?
It's right over here. But
it has to burn anyways.
What is the difference? Whether it's
we're not done. Don't be nervous. We met Shem. I'm good. That's great. And me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so the Chachamim said to Rebbe Lozer ben Yehuda Ish Bartusa, I don't understand why you're saying that on Friday afternoon before Shabbos you should go and burn truma tahira chas v'shalom lo yisrafu. Why? Shema yimtzu lehen oichlin. Maybe from Friday night until Shabbos morning, until 10 o'clock, maybe they will have guests, unexpected guests, who are kohanim, who will want to eat truma, leave over as much truma as possible. Amalehen, said Reb Lozer ben Yehuda, we're talking about... We're talking about Erev Pesach. Amar lehen, so he said, Kvar bikshu v'loy matzu. We're talking about a small shtetl. The whole shtetl had 12, 1500 or 20 people. And so therefore, all the kahanim knew each other. And they went and called up all of their friends. Would you like to come over for a suda tonight and tomorrow morning and this and that, blah, blah, blah. I know you're not going to come to us for Pesach, because in Pesach mishmanish. Fine, so can you still come Erev Pesach? So they had already invited any conceivable kohen and Vlimatsu, and they didn't have anybody else. So they already set aside plenty of food for all the kahanim for tonight, for tomorrow morning, but we still have extra food, so we might as well just go and burn it. Amalai, so the Chum said, Shemachutz l'chaim olanu. You think that you invited every available kohen in town. What happens if there was a late flight that came in 5 minutes before Shabbos, and there's some kahanim who are at the airport, or they happen to be right outside the walls of the city, but within the tchum of the city, and unexpectedly, they may arrive tomorrow morning for Shachris. Hey, Yanko, where'd you come from? Oh, we had a delay in our flight. We had a delay in the caravan. We arrived only a few minutes before Shabbos. We didn't have a chance to...
You're now. You went from caravans to the flights to caravans.
I'm flying around.
You're really...
Yeah, exactly. The flights, of course, for modern day.
1,000 years ago to now.
Exactly. So I'm trying to bridge the gap.
Yeah, well,
nowadays it would be a late flight, and the good old days it would be a late caravan. Caravan. Anyway, so we came at the last moment, and we were exhausted. We couldn't come into the city, so we just slept outside the city. We had some things with us, and we had some wine, and we made Kiddush, and we danced, and we sang, and everything was beautiful. And now this morning, Baruch Hashem, we got our koiches together, we're back in shul, but we have no food left. Could you please invite us? Of course, I'll be delighted to invite you. So why don't you leave over some more truma, Chavraman? If you'd have left over more, there would be such an ample suda for us. So you should have left over some more food. Don't burn your truma tahira on Erev Shabbos. Amalehem, so now Reb Elazar ben Yehuda Ish Bartusa says back to Rabbanan l'divreichem, you're talking about things which of course can happen. It's highly unlikely that it's going to happen, but it's certainly possible. There is a remote possibility. So if that's the case, according to you, let's go one step further. What is that one step further? Even the tluyos, tluyos means those which are suffic. Are they tohar or are they not tohar? Even those you should not burn. Why? The kahanim can't eat it anyway. Shemayovi Eliyov, it's yitarem. Because after all, when we have tluyos, one of the jobs of Eliyahu Navi will be, when he comes, is all of the tekus, tishbi yitarets. He's going to answer 10 million questions. We have questions from the times of Yitzias Mitzrayim until today. Well, not Yitzias Mitzrayim, but at least from the time of the Gemara until today. And we're going to ask Eliyahu Navi, tell us, is the truma tahira or not? Okay, if Eliyahu is going to continue to dilly-dally and delay, and he's only going to come in another week or two or month or two, it'll be too late for these tluyos. But maybe he's going to come Shabbos morning in the middle of laning. Somebody say, wow, look what Eliyahu Hanavi is here. Can't talk until being gabba. The gabba don't talk in the middle of laning. But the point is, if Eliyahu Hanavi will come, they'll be able to say, hey, I have all these trumas tluyos. Can we eat from them or not? Amrulai. So the Chacham answered back to Rebbe Lazar, we already have a Kabbalah that Eliyahu Navi, we're waiting for him every day of the week, but he's not going to come on Fridays, he's not going to come in Erev Yontif because of the Tircha involved. Now what is the Tircha involved? So Rashi says, not Rashi over here, but if you have the Moisef Rashi, Rashi brings from Erevin, we had this not too long ago, that Rashi says, Sheminichen Tzorchi Shabbos, V'holchen L'hakbil Panav, that it's time to go and be Mekabel Panei Mashiach, and therefore, it's going to come on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. How can I go and be Mekabel Yom Tov? I would like to be there, you know, in the front row. I'm still busy. I still have to go and buy something from the store. I didn't get flowers yet. I still have to go to the mikveh. I still have to prepare the table after. Blah, blah, blah. Well, people don't have time in Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. And therefore, I got a problem. So, nothing to worry about. Eliyahu Navi is not going to go and come on those days. There's a famous story that the Briskerov Zatzal met the Chabinarov. Chabinarov was a well-known Kalatziana Ruv, who was Boki Becholotei Rekuli, had Gan Shas and Yushalmi on his fingertips. He could go Balpeh read, write, tell you every single toisis here in Maseches Pesachim. You tell them top toisis in Daf Yud Gimel in Maseches Pesachim, im Toimar, im Gamliel, word for word. He was brilliant.
You could do that.
I cannot. Anyway,
where
so
did
the
he live?
He lived at the same time as Rav. He passed away probably in the early in the 60s or maybe early 70s.
Gosh.
Anyway, so the point of all this is the Briska Ruf said to the Chibina Ruf, tell me, these people keep on saying, I wish you should be Makabal Pnei Mashiach Tzidkenu. Where do we find anywhere in the Gemara, Pesachinian, you should be Makabal Pnei Mashiach? Mashiach comes, and Yatshem will be very happy. Where is him in Yipsa Kabbalah Pnei Mashiach? So he said, don't you know? It's a Rashi in Erevin. And he told him this Rashi, that what's the reason why the Yohan Novi is not going to go and come on Erev Shabbos? Shemenichem Tzorechi Shabbos V'holchen Lahak Bilpanov. You have to go and be Mekabel Panam, and I don't have time because it's Erev Shabbos, it's Erev Yonta. I'm just too busy. So you see from this, there's an inyus we're going to be Mekabel Panam. So the Briska Ruf said to his children, he says, you have to be able to learn up a Rashi like the Chabina Ruf. You have to be able to be Medaik every word in the holy Rashi. That's the Makar for the inyus be Mekabel Panam.
What was his name?
Shina Ruf's family name was.
Okay.
I don't remember offhand.
There's a famous story. Your father.
That's exactly.
Rabina Karlbach and
the Belzeruv
yeah.
On Erev Pesach.
Wish them a
so, brother Shai is repeating the story that my father, Shkhan the Bruch, always used to say that Rabina Karlbach was together with the Belzeruv on Erev Pesach. Where, when, what, I don't know the circumstances, but the Belzeruv was baking Erev Pesach matzahs and with great emotion said, "Oi, halavai, we should still be able to go and eat these matzahs still in Yerushalayim with the coming of the Mashiach in the Beis Hamikdash." So they say that Rabina Karlbach said, "Heivig Belzeruv, Herr Ober Rabina." As you know, the Gemara says, "Ein Ben David Bo." Here it says, "Ein Eliyahu Bo." Lo be'arvi Shabusaus, v'lo be'arvi Yomim Tauvim. How is he possibly going to come today? It's a Erev Yontif. So they say the Belzeruv said to Rabina Karlbach, Herr Ober Rabina Karlbach, that was is the Aufgabe, means what is one of the missions of Eliyahu Navi? One of his missions is to go answer all outstanding questions. And therefore, let Eliyahu and Mashiach come today on Erev Yontif. We're going to have a question that the Gemara says, Ein Eliyahu Ba. He has so many questions to answer, he'll answer this question as well. But he should first come and let him answer that question when he arrives on the scene. So here too, one of the questions that he has to address is about the Trumos Tluyos. So don't go and burn all those Trumos Tluyos from Erev Shabbos. Wait until the Onavi will come, and he'll go and perhaps say that they are Tohor, say the Chachamim. Now, unfortunately, that is not a possibility, because Eliyahu Novi is not going to come on Erev Shabbos or on Erev Yontif, and you're talking about tomorrow Erev Yontif being Shabbos, that Erev Yontif is not going to come. It's interesting over here, Rashi doesn't say Mipnei HaToyrech, because we have to go and Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, we're busy with Tzorchei Shabbos, V'holchen L'hak B'lpanav. Why? Because on Erev Yontif, there is nothing to be, if Shabbos falls out an Erev Yontif, like this year, nobody is going to be running to the store to go and buy last minute items. Nobody is going to be rushing to buy flowers. Nobody is going to be preparing the Moror or the Itzach Shabbos. So therefore, there is no great Torah. That's why Rashi over here has a different shot than the Rashi in Erevin. Rashi in the Torah, first wide line, Sheesh Lehen Lasik Besudoi Shabbos V'yitrudubai. We have to prepare and we have to put out on the table the Suda Shabbos on Shabbos morning, and that in itself is a very time-consuming thing. In other words, preparing the table and eating, especially if you eat two meals quickly on Shabbos morning, and you have to go and sing all the Zmiris, and you have to go and say Torah, and you have to prepare, and you have to rest on Erev Shabbos. So you have other terechos other than having to prepare for Shabbos or for Yom Tov. Just the fact that it's Shabbos today, that in itself is a time-consuming thing. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So, bottom line is, we had a machloikis between Rabbi Elazar ben Yehuda Ish Bar Tusa, Shama Shem Rabbi Shua. What do you do with the Truma Tahira? Should you burn it on Erev Shabbos or not? So what happens, Taka? According to the Chacham, you're going to leave over all that Truma Tahira. What happens if no guests come in the morning? What do? I can't do Bir Chametz anymore on Shabbos. So, Rashi gives two answers. Number one, he says, give it to the kalvei kohanim. In other words, normally you wouldn't go and feed truma to the klovim. However, if nobody else can eat it because you're just too much, you've left over for Shabbos morning, then give it to the klovim. If you can't, if the klovim are old to say, sorry, we're already zat, we're just too much, we can't eat anymore, we're stuffed. Then you vat lebalibai.
Dogs,
yeah.
They never say that.
In fact, most of them don't talk at all. Anyway, see, vatlim, the other eitzah says Rashi is yivat lebalibai. In other words, I can't burn it on Shabbos, so I'll be vat lebalev. I'll say kol chamira v'chamira deikar b'shusay. It all becomes bottle and hefker ke'afra the aram. Okay, so now continuing on the brisa, Amru. They didn't budge from there. That they were kaveh halacha like Rebbe Lazar. Now, remember that there were two major points that Rebbe Lazar said in this price. Point number one is that you leave over the food to be able to eat until 10 o'clock, Arba Shois, the next morning. That was not disputed, that everybody agreed to in the price. Halacha number two was the halacha of the dispute. What do I do with Truma Tahira? Should I burn it all before Shabbos because there are no more guests that are expected to arrive on the scene? Or do you keep it until the last moment, until Shabbos morning, and if there are no guests, then give it to the klavim or be mevatel be'leiv? So, says the Braisa, we paskin like Reb Lazar. In which case? Is in the case of the till the 4 hours? Or is in the second case, legabi the Truma Tahira? Zok the Gemara, my love. So now we concluded the Brice. So now the Gemara is now medayik from the Brice. My love, afilu lecha. You see that the Brice itself is koveya, the halacha, like Reb Elazar ben Yehuda Ishbartusa, that lechoyre even to eat until the 4th hour. And that's therefore a Brice befedish like Reb Nachman Omer Rav, that the halacha is like Reb Yehuda and not like Reb Meir. Omer Papa Bishmeder Rav, no, like Levayer. That when they said that to kaveh halacha like Reb Elazar ben Yehuda was the gabe to be mavair the truma from erev Shabbos. That what the chum said very tenaciously. No, leave it over for the next morning. You never know, somebody can arrive late in his caravan or his flight, depending which era or age you're talking about. Leave it over. No, we paskin like Reb Elazar, go and mavair all of the extra truma already from erev Shabbos. So if we have no raya to Rav Nachman Amar Rav, says more. However, we have Rebbe Savalahad Rav Nachman. Even Rebbe holds like Rav Nachman. Of course, Rebbe is many generations before Rav Nachman. Rebbe is the codifier of our Mishnayos. Rav Nachman was a later Amoira, but we're going to bring a raya from Rebbe Lechoy that he holds like Rav Nachman. The Amar Rav and Barav Ada might be other mecha. There was a person shehifkid diskaya maleya chometz etzel yoichanan chakukaa. A person, a nameless person, he left over a pikkudin of diskaya. Rashi says the word diskaya is really a contraction of two words, dioi sakaya. Dioi means two, I believe in Greek. Sakaya are sakin. So therefore, it was a double sack, full of chametz. Eitzel yochin chakuka. If you're wondering who's Yochin Chakuka, we already had him on the bottom of Gimel Amid Beis, and we had a Machloikis Rashi and Toisis, what Chakuka means. Rashi said that that was his nickname, while Toisis said that either he was a sofer, or he comes from the town of Chakuka. Anyway, he left this pikkudin with him. V'nikvu achbarim, and mice came by, and as they are typical to do, when they smelled that there was chomet, smells good. And therefore they started biting at the bag, and they made a hole in the bag. And now chometz is pouring out of the bag. And guess what? It's Erev Pesach. And Yochanan Chuka is looking all around. Where is that Adam Echad that left the Pikadon with me? What can I do? What should I do? Soon it's all going to be Asur. It's going to be 12 o'clock. What do I do? Well, if Rabbi came in front of Rabbi. Shori Shoina, meaning from 6 to 7, early in the morning, Amalei Hamtein. Wait. Shniya, second hour, Amalei Hamtein. Wait. Shlishis Amalei Hamtein. Wait. Revias Amalei Hamtein. Wait. Chamishis, now it's already the 5th hour, Amalei. Tsei Umoichra Beshuk. Don't hold on to it anymore, because in another hour, this whole bag is going to become osir, because it's going to be Chomet She'Overlova Pesach, and you're going to be Oivachas Shalom Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze. And, well, not really you, it depends on, assuming that he Rabbi Yochanan Chakuka had achrayis on the bikkudin. We already had in the Gemara before that if you have achrayis on the bikkudin, then it's like it's yours, and you'll be over by your rabbi yomatzeh. So, number two, as we'll see in the Gemara in the bottom of the Amid, we always want to go and help a Jew that he shouldn't chas v'sholem have a hefsid, have a loss. And if you're going to hold this until 12 o'clock and then just burn it at 11:01 or 11:30 or whenever it is, then he won't have any benefit anymore from this chametz. So you know what? Sell it before this man, and of course you're going to have to sell it at a discount, but get whatever you can get.
So
Brother Shai says, who are we going to sell it to? Zokti Mar my love, Linochem Kereb Yehuda. Presumably means to say it's already past 10 o'clock. Jews can no longer eat because we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. The only one that can eat are Goyim. Yes, although it's Osir Bachila, it's Mutter Beha. No, sell it to a Goy, like Rabbi Yehuda old. And so you see that Rabbi held like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he paskin like Rabbi Nachman, Omer Rav. Omer Rav Yosef, you have no right. Loi li Yisrael. When it says that you can go and sell it in the fifth hour, you know what it means? You could continue selling it to Yisraelim like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says you can continue eating kol chomesh, the entire fifth hour. So not selling it to Goyim like Brother Shai thought, or like the Gemara thought. You're in very good company, Brother Shai. But rather, sell it to a Yid, like Rav Meir, and he could still quickly eat it during that final hour before the time that you have to burn it. So, Lord Maisa, we have no right. Omele Abayis, Abayis says, Eli Yisrael, if you're talking about that we're going to sell it in the fifth hour to Yisrael, Nishke Lenafshe, why does he have to sell it to somebody else? Let him figure out how much can he go and get for this chametz. I'm going to go outside and I say, chametz for sale, one more hour, you can still get the last minute clearance sale of chametz if you want chametz. Who's going to go and buy it? They have one or two stragglers that have no food left or whatever. Sure, they'll pay you $10. So instead of selling to somebody else for $10, I'll myself put away $10 and leave it for this Odom Echad whenever he comes back, and I'm going to go and give him the money. At least, well, Nishkele Nafshi should take it for himself. Says, Yimar Mishim Chshada. No, you cannot do that because of what may appear to be a conflict of interest. What we call a perception of a conflict of interest. The Sanya. Gaboy Tzedokah She'in Lehem Aniyim Lechalik Portan Achirim and Portan Li'atma. What happens if Gaboy Tzedokah have collected together a nice amount of copper coins, and now they want to go and change it into silver? Or for that matter, they have silver coins and they want to go and divide it up into copper. Are they allowed to go and change one coin for the other? Now, today there wouldn't be a problem, because everybody knows that 10 pennies equals one dime, and 25 pennies equals one quarter. But there, at that time, we're not talking about the coinage, the mintage on the coin itself, we're talking about the weight of the coin. And so therefore, 10 pennies might not have been worth a dime. It might only have been worth 9 cents, because maybe each one of the coins was missing a little bit to the right, to the left, and it was ugevetched. It means more part of it was worn off. And therefore, 10 pennies were only worth 9 cents or 8 cents. Aha. So now, if you're selling it on the out market and to the outside public, so then each person will look at the coins and say, yeah, it's worth 8, 9, 10, whatever. However, if you happen to be the Gabi Tzedakah and you're holding on to the money yourself and you want to change your own coins, silver for copper or copper for silver, then the person may look at, ah, come on, these coins. Yeah, you can tell that half of this coin is missing here. Now, these 10 pennies are only worth a nickel. I'm not going to give more than a nickel. Outside the marketplace, you might be able to get 8 cents or 10 cents. So therefore, part of the chayim, for others, you can go and do the money exchange, but not for yourself. Similarly, gaboy tamchoy, these are people in charge of the soup kitchen, in charge of the food. She'en lam aniyim lechalik, there are no aniyim today, Baruch Hashem, for food, everybody is okay. So moichel acherim, then sell all the sandwiches to other people, because by tomorrow they're going to go and be, they'll spoil, sell it. But don't sell it to yourself. Why mishum shenema? Because of the same rule, v'yisim nikiyim Hashem Yisrael, we don't want it to be a perception of any type of nigiyah. Because then people say, I know the Gabbai Tzedakah, they make all these fancy schmancy sandwiches, they could go and sell it in the open market for $11.99 each, and they go and take it for themselves for $8.99, and they go and get a bargain because they happen to be the Gabbai Tzedakah. So, v'yisim nikiyim. So that's why you cannot go and sell this chametz to yourself or hold on to it. Sell it to the outside public.
Does it mean, in essence, you know, stay clean?
Sorry, what's
that? To stay clean, to keep your hands clean.
Not only you should stay clean, there should not be a perception of unclean
impropriety.
Of impropriety. Exactly right. Zok Dimar. So bottom line is, Rav Yosef said, maybe it's not Lenochem Krabi Huda, but we're selling it in the fifth hour to Yisrael, Kereb Meir. Omli Rav Adi Bar Masl Rav Yosef. Rebbe Meferish Amrislan, don't you remember a year ago, 5 years ago, when we were learning this sugya, maybe 7 years ago, at the last machzer of the daf, you taught us then, Tzei Umoichon Lenochem Kereb Yehuda, and then Rashi repeats, as he brings very often in Shas, and unfortunately Rav Yosef, in his later years, unfortunately became sick, and he forgot a lot of his learnings, and so therefore that's why Rav Yosef here contemporaneously was saying, maybe Pshat in the Braise, or Pshat in Rebbe is Li Yisrael Kremeh. Says Rav Adi Bar Masl, don't you remember when you taught it to us a few years ago, you said that, in fact, Rebbe holds like Rav Yehuda, and in the fifth hour you're selling it to Nachrim, and therefore we have a Raya Taka to Rav Nachman Omer Rav from Rebbe's conduct in this case. Now, the Gemara wants to know, why was it necessary for Rebbe to go and say, sell it? He could have said, listen, this other mechad, if he had any brains, he would make sure to come back in time before Yontif and to take his pikadon and do whatever you got to do with it. Not leave it as your headache, Rabbi Yochanan Chakukah. Why did he say, go and sell it? So, Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, Gemara, Azla, Shmaitse, Derebi, Ki Rebbe Shem Gamliel. Goes to Chayel, like Rebbe Shem Gamliel, did not. Hamafke Peiris, Eitzel Chaveri. Person leaves a pikadon with his chaver. What does he leave? He didn't leave money. He left payroids, fruit. Okay, he probably thought he's going to come back the next day, but in fact, he is delayed, and he's only going to come back in a week or 2 weeks. Even if you see the payroids rotting in front of your eyes, don't touch them. They're not your concern. They're not your pikadon. It's his property. It's his headache, not your headache. No, that's not true. Just like if you would see an aveda out in the street, you don't say, well, it's not my headache. Whoever lost it, let him worry about it. No. It is your headache. Therefore, this is Hashavas Aveda, because the payers are becoming avudin. Save them before they become totally spoiled, and sell them and get money and put the money away. Oh, so that's the case over here too, that he was worried that all of the chometz would soon be worthless at 12 o'clock midday on Erev Pesach. That's why he said, sell it before the final hour. Oh, no riots. Konzai and Rebbe is going even according to the Tanakh. The whole machloik is here between the Tanakh and Rav Shem Gamliel as to whether or not you should go and sell the fruit which are spoiling. That machloik is elabichtei chesroinon. That is only if the amount of spoilage is in accordance with the normal wear and tear, if you will. I don't know if wear and tear is an appropriate term for fruit. I'm sorry?
Depletion.
Oh, the normal regular rate of depletion by payrais. What is that rate? So Rashi brings a Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia, depending on whether you're talking about grain or you're talking about rice, you're talking about other things, there's a certain amount of depletion that you expect on an ongoing basis. There you have a machlokes, okay? Should I sell? Should I not sell? However, if they're becoming depleted and spoiled at a rate which is much more than the standard rate, then avad the moichem abezin, sell them as quickly as possible to go and save money. Hashavas aveda for the person who left the bikodin with you. The koshkin hacha, and in our case, where it's not just a greater rate of depletion, the apsidi v'gamri, in another few minutes, they'll be worthless. If I don't go and sell this chometz and erev Pesach by 11 o'clock, I wait until 12 o'clock, one more hour, nobody will pay a nickel for it, not even a penny, because at that time it'll already be totally osir bano. So therefore, it's not only the Rebbe's going like Rav Shem Gamliel, it could even be going according to the Tanei Kama. Okay, and then the Mishnah said, remember, Yehuda said that you can eat until 10 o'clock, and then you can go and feed your animals until 11, and then you can go, in the meantime, prepare for a fire, and then you can go and burn the chametz at 11 o'clock. Good. Now we're quoting from the Mishnah, shtei chalis. There were two chalis of toida that they put on the itztava that everybody should go and see. And initially there were two chalis, and then when they took one chal away, they knew, okay, it must be 10 o'clock now, I cannot eat any chametz anymore, but I can still go and be machal behemtoy. I can now prepare for the burning. And then an hour later, they took the second challah away, and they said, okay, now must be the hour to go and burn the chametz. So, Zokti Mar, Tani Tanakh,
as clarification, That was for the Jews in Yerushalayim.
Correct.
What about the Jews from what throughout the Eretz Yisrael?
People in other places, they had to have special iPhones which had in them built in an alarm so that at 10 o'clock it would start going, make all types of noises to remind them that now is the time. And what do people do in Bavel? What do people do throughout the world?
So this is the thing.
Do you know in Yerushalayim they go and blow every single Erev Shabbos, they have the siren. It's true in Borough Park too. But here in the West Side we don't have that. In Muncie we don't have that. In Kiryas Yoel they don't have it. So what do people do? So they go without a siren. So they didn't have the two Chalas Torah. Everybody is encouraged to move to Yerushalayim to be able to look at the Chalas Torah, to go and put it on Zoom and to go and do iPhones.
It's worth
and
see the siren.
Yeah, to go and see it. But unfortunately, and what happens, somebody lives in a Bayit Vegani, probably also couldn't see it. So that was the custom.
They,
yeah.
They set that up so that you'd be possible the Islam and Torah.
We're going to talk about it. Don't be.
You're setting up for to be apostle country.
Please. You're asking excellent questions. We're going to deal with that in another few lines. At this time, the Braisa tells us that Tani, not the Braisa, Tani Tana Kameda of Yehuda, when the Tana was learning our Mishnah in front of Yehuda, he said that they put the two Chalas Toida al Gav Ho'itzdeba. What means Gav? What means itzdeba? Itzdeba means a bench where people were able to go and sit on the harabayas. And on that bench, they put it on top of the bench. They put these two toides, and then people would see it from afar. If you're going to put it on a bench, then most people are not even going to be able to see it. Because, you know, bench is what you sit on. If I'm standing up, where's that bench? Where are the chalas? How are you going to go and see it? And therefore, what do you have to do? Tani, instead of saying al gago itzaba, say al gago itzaba. Gag means that there's a roof. In other words, you're talking benches, but on top of the benches there were also a roof, a ceiling, presumably to protect the person if it's raining or if it's very sunny. And on top of that gag, and then you were able to see it from afar. Very, very good. Tikkun, don't say gab, say gag. It's in Harbais.
No, but you can just sit in Harbais.
You can't sit in the Azora, but you can sit in Harbais. Right? And Yeshiva Azora, El Lamalchi Bistov Bulma. Omer Rachba Omer Yehuda, Harbais Stov Kofel Hoye. The Harbais, in certain areas, they had a double bench. What means a double bench? So Rashi says that had a bench within a bench. If you look at Rashi, about 6-7 lines from the top. Stov Kofel Hoye, Ho Itzteba, Soviv, Soviv Makefes, Ubatoich Oitze Hekif. In other words, they had circular benches that people could go and sit on, and that was the outer, and then there were kind of concentric circles that within side that wide bench from the outside, and inside they had additional benches on the inside. So it was a double bench formation. And the Gemara says the same thing again, Tana Mihochi, Harabayis, Stov Kofel Hoye. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Itztavonis Hoysa Nikris. It had a fancy name, not just Stav. It was called Itztavonis. Itztavonis is not just your normal bench. It's usually a bench that you would find in front of a storefront where the sellers would go and sit and sell their wares. So it was called Itztavonis. And again, it was Stav Lifnimi Stav, such an one bench within a larger bench. So the one larger bench was a larger circle, and then they had smaller concentric circles inside. Good. Now let's get to Brother Shai's point. In our Mishnah, it said that they put the two Lachmi Toida, they were Lachmi Toida Psulois. They were posel already. Those were the ones that they put out on top of the Gag Ho'itzdeva. Breaking my mind, Psulois. How did they get posel in the first place? Because there were so many that they were left over beyond this mansa, become what we would call noiser, or what the Gemara here calls lina. The sanya that it says in the Braisa, a neviim toida b'chag hamatzah nei chomet shabbat. The Braisa says that you're not allowed to bring a korban toida on yontif of Pesach. Why? Everybody knows that a toida is a korban shlomim plus 40 chalos. It's not a full-fledged shlomim in the sense shlomim is nechal l'shnei yom v'layla echad. Toida is only nechal l'yom v'layla. But nevertheless, besides the carbon itself, you have to bring 40 chalas. Now these 40 chalas, the Torah describes them as 30 are matzois, 10 of them are chalois, are chometz. Aha. Okay. So therefore, on Yom Tov, you cannot go and bring a carbon toida because by definition, you're going to have to bring chametz. Chasishon, chametz, you can bring a yant. So, Rei Yomar, pshita. I don't even understand why the price has to go and say that. Of course, you cannot bring a chalitz toida because it has chametz. It's Omer Rabbah, but we're not talking about a yant vitzah. We're talking about biyudalad askinim. On Erev Pesach, why can't you go bring an Erev Pesach? After all, bring it early in the morning, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, and quickly eat the 40 chalitz toida before 12 o'clock. And you don't even have to eat all 40, you just have to eat those 10 before 12 o'clock. The kasavar ain't being kosher base absul. Because since there's a strong likelihood that a person is not going to be able to consume all of those chalas in time, even with his extended family and friends, so therefore you're going to have some chalas toida which are going to remain until 12, and people say, I just can't eat anymore. I'm stuffed to the gills. I won't be able to eat matzah tonight. So therefore, you're going to have kodesh being brought to the base of soul, meaning that you're going to have to go and burn them. And this is what Brother Shai was asking about before. And that's why don't bring toidois on Erev Pesach. The last day you can bring a carbon toida would be on Shloisha Asr B'Nisan, the day before, on the 13th. The Kuli Alma, and therefore everybody in Klal Yisrael that was coming up to be Oyle Regel, that wanted to bring a Thanksgiving carbon to the Rabbeinu Shalom in the form of a toida, everybody brought a Shloisha Asr Ma'islehu. Since there's so many Nefsolis Belina, it was impossible for everybody in Klal Yisrael to eat up all of the toidas. Remember, a normal individual cannot go and eat 40 lachmi toida in one day and in one evening. So what does he have to do? He has to invite all of his friends and all of his family. And guess what? Many of those friends and family were invited to other Thanksgiving dinners of other people bringing a carbon toida. So I was going carbon toida hopping from one place to the next place to the next place, each time wishing mazel tov, and I'm so happy that you're making this sudas toidah and that you're bringing a carbon toidah. How much can I eat? So guess what happened? So a lot of them, or at least some of them, were left over until the 14th day. By the way, based on this Gemara, that's why we don't say Mizmor Lesoida on Erev Pesach, because you don't bring a carbon toida on Erev Pesach. Okay, so Mitor Shehein Meruba is the Soldas Belina, because there's so many, then they became Pasul Belina. So we took two of those psulais that were already pasul from the day before, and instead of going and burning them immediately the morning of the 14th, we put them down on Gaga Itzdaba, so everybody would see, and then eventually we burned them by 12 o'clock together with all the other chametz that was burned that day.
What kind of bezoin for?
What, the bezoin of the Karm Toida?
Yeah.
I guess the Gemara holds that this bezoin pales by comparison to using this as an alarm clock, so that everybody should know that it's Erev Pesach and don't forget to stop eating chametz. So in other words, you're using it for a positive purpose, even though there's a shtickle bezoin that's sitting there, but it's a positive purpose that you're teaching people a lesson. And that's pshat number one. Now, pshat number two, Mishum Rav Yani Omru K'sheirisayin. In truth, that they were kosher. They were kosher, lach mitoida, not psulais. Well, am I kardel psulais? The Mishnah said they're psulais. Shloi nishchat alein hazevach, because the korban zevach was not geshochted. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, as we learned back in Kodshim a couple of years ago, that when a person is bringing a korban toida, you bring the 40 chalois of matzah and of chametz, and you makdish them, and they get what we call a kedushas domim. When do they get a kedushas haguf, like the korban itself? Only after you go and shecht the korban toida together, and with which these 40 chalas are appended, when you shech the korban toida, boom! The kedushas domim now graduates and accelerates and becomes now kedushas haguf. Aha. So therefore, they never shechted the korban toida on these chalas, and therefore I cannot eat them. So although they are kosher, they're not pasul, but I cannot eat them. So why can't I go and eat them? Because you can only eat them after you get the kedushas haguf. So what do I do now? You can be pointed at them because of Kedushas Dom. The Gemara is going to talk about that shortly. Therefore, since you didn't have Shechitas HaZevach, they did not become now Kedushas HaGuf, you cannot eat them. But they're still kosher. So Frank Timar, so then, what are you waiting for? Go and shech the carbon so that you should be able to go and eat them. The Gemara is, the Itzlach and others say we're talking about on the 13th, right? We have those carbon toides. Instead of leaving these chalas for the next day, Schnell, bring a carbon now and shecht it so you're able to go and eat them. So the Gemara Shabbat Azevach. Unfortunately, the carbon ran away. Said Kemachta Pleita, the animal ran away. Okay, then I said Zevach Achim, and Yishchasham bring a new one. So Gemara, the Amr Zutoy the Vizu Lachma. It's talking about that he made an official declaration. He said, "You Behema, you are the Toida, and you 40, you are the Lechem." So what does that mean? Ukir Rabbi, the Amr Rabbi, Obin Lechem, maybe Lechem Acher. If the 40 Chalas somehow or other got lost, one or more got lost, so then you replenish it. You go and bring new substitutes and replacements. However, of the Toida, if the animal got lost, maybe Toida Acheres, you cannot go and bring another animal and use these 40 chalas for the new animal. Why not? Because my time, lechem glal Toida, the lechem is an annex, it's appended to the Toida, to the animal. So therefore, if the animal gets lost, then you got to bring a new animal, and you cannot go and say, and you have to bring new lechem. On the other hand, if the lechem gets lost, then you bring another lechem, because the Toida is the primary, and the Lechem is the secondary. So Lechem glal Toida, vein Toida glal Lechem. And so the bottom line is, if your Lechem gets lost, but you still have the Toida, bring new Lechem, and then be mak of the carbon Toida. However, if your Toida gets lost and you have the Lechem, sorry fellow, you cannot use this Lechem anymore, we're going to bring a new animal, a new Lachmei Toida. So therefore, these Lachmei Toida now are superfluous, because the Toida got lost, I cannot eat them, I'm just stuck with them. So take two of them and put them out, and Gag Itzva. Right, tomorrow. You told me before it has Kedushas Damim, Venifakinu, Venafkinu Lechulin. Okay, so go and take it to the Gizbar. How much are these 40 Chalas worth? Kach v'kach, whatever that amount is, I'll be pointed. And now all these Lachmei Toida will be chulin, and everybody can go and eat from it. It no longer has any kedusha. So that pshat lechoyer doesn't work. Eli oilam, Rabbi Yanai says shenishchar alein hazevach. It's talking about yes, they did shech the zevach. However, the nishbach hadam, and they were not able to go and do the zrikas hadam because the dam spilled out on the ground. Ukimanuki Rebbe, the Omer Rebbe, Shnei Dvorim Hamatirim Malin Zebloize. Rebbe said that when you're talking about the Lachmei Toida, they have two matirin. Usually by all kabbonis you have one matir, and that is the Zrika Saddam. Or by the Mincha, the Haktoris Hakmitza. Over here we're talking about the Lachmei Toida need two matirim. The two matirim are shechting the carbon and then doing the Zrika Saddam. This time, like it says in the Brisa. So now we're bringing a raya to a carbon toida from the famous shtei halechem that we bring once a year on Shavuos. That what? When you bring those shtei halechem, you have to go and shecht at the same time. Kivasim. So it says, kivsei atzeres, ein mekatris halechem, ele b'shchita. How do the lechem, meaning the shtei halechem, get kedusha on Shavuos? When you shecht the kivsei atzeres. Ketzad, give me examples. Shachtel Lishmani, if he shechted those kivsei atzeres lishma. Vizorgdom Lishmani did a proper zrika. Kivishalechem, the lechem is fine. Shachtel Shaloy Lishmani, Vizorgdom Shaloy Lishmani, if he did a bad shechita and a bad zrika because he was Shaloy Lishmani, loikir Shalechem, lech is no good. Shachtel Lishmani, Vizorgdom Shaloy Lishmani, what happens if he shechted lishma and he did a zrika zadam Shaloy Lishma, the lechem is kadosh ve'enoy kadosh. Since I have to have two matirin, both a kosher shechita and a kosher zrika, the lechem becomes now kadosh ve'enoy kadosh, because I did a good shechita lishma, but I did a zrika shaloy lishma. Now, what does that mean, lechem kadosh ve'enoy kadosh? Explains Rashi. Kadosh means it gets kedushas haguf, that I can no longer be poided. When I had kedushas dam, the Gemara asked, lifrakinu, I can no longer be poided because that's kedushas haguf. However, enoy kadosh, but I cannot eat it. Why can't I eat it? Because I didn't do a proper zrika. It was a zrika shloi lishma. That according to Blaz Reb Shimon, it doesn't get any kedushas haguf until both the shechita and the zrika. Okay, so bottom line is, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yanai, who says we're talking about two chalois kisheirois, and you said, so why don't we go and eat them? The reason is because they have kedushas haguf, but they do not, that kedusha zaguf doesn't allow you to eat. Well, why can't I eat from it? Because we had a shechita that gave a kedusha zaguf, but there was no zrika done. No zrika at all. Like the Gemara said, that it's talking about nishpach hadam, the dam spilled out. I couldn't do a zrika. So the kedusha zaguf it got as a result of the shechita. But I can't eat it until the zrika, and I have to have two matirim. There's not going to be a zrika here, Rabbi Yisrael. There's no blood left. The blood spilled to the ground. So that goes according to Rabbi, that you have both matirin and it's kaddish ve'ena kaddish. So what do I do now with those two lechem? I put on the gaga itzdaba on Erev Yom Tov.
Probably happen once every 30 years.
Or maybe once in 100 years. Or maybe
right.
Never happen.
So what are you talking about?
We'll get to that in a moment. So getting back to our Gemara. So Gemara, you don't have to say it goes according to Rabbi. You can even go to Rabbi Lazar Shimon also. I feel the time Rabbi Lazar Shimon. How come I say Rabbi Lazar Shimon said, until you do a shechita and a zrika lishma, and therefore, according to Reb Shimon, you can now be poreik. You can just be poida the 40 lechems because of the fact that it didn't. It's not like Rebbe that said kaddish ve'ena kaddish that has kedushas aguf. Until you do zrika sedam, it doesn't even have kedushas aguf. So just go and be poided. So the chori goes like Rebbe and not like Reb Lazar Reb Shimon. So tomorrow, no, after the Reb Lazar Reb Shimon, Hachamayiskim can just kabbalah adam bekoyis. You did have kabbalah sadam bekoyis, not that from the shechita the dam spilled directly on the floor, but rather the dam was niskabel in a mizrak in a container. Benishbech, and only after that did it spill out. So who cares? What difference does that make? Reb Lazar Reb Shimon said, like Reb Vuhil holds like his father, like Reb Shimon. What did Reb Shimon say? Omer kala oimin lizrei kizorek dami. Anything that is oimin lizrei as if it's already zorek. So what does that mean? That means that we have now a deemed or virtual zrika, which only helps for one purpose. It helps for the purpose so that this kedushas damim now becomes kedushas aguf. Remember, I did a proper shechita, that was fine. I did a proper kabbalah stam, that was fine. Unfortunately, I didn't do a zrika because it all spilled out. But since I say kol oimin lizrei kizorek dami, it's as if I made a zrika. It becomes escalated and graduated. It becomes now kedushas aguf. Can I eat it? No. Why can't I eat it? Because I didn't do an actual zrika. For purposes of kedushas haguf, a virtual zrika is enough. But for achila, I have to have a real zrika. And that's the reason why the Gemara says that they're ksheirois, but I couldn't use them. So now, getting back to Brother Shai's very good point. According to the first man, the Yama that says it's talking about psulois, because so many Yidden brought their carbon on Shloisha Asar, and now it's Arba Asar, we have a couple of Chalas left here and there and everywhere, and put those on Gaga Itzuba, says Reb Yehuda. They used to do that on an annual basis. They always had these extra Chalas, and they showed it to everybody, Psulas. According to Reb Yanai, this only happened in those remote occasions, when they brought a carbon toida, and the blood spilled to the ground, and there's no blood left. What do I do? It's a bloodless, not a bloodless coup, but it's a bloodless toida. What do I do now? I can't be poirik, I can't eat it, so I used to go and put it on top of the itzvah. So Brother Shai asked, how often did this happen? Probably happened very rarely. And with this is for end for the kasha that was always bothering me. Not always, but it bothered me. Says in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda proves his point. No. I'll show you that oichlin kol arba, because they used to put out the shtei chalas shel toida and they put it on the gag itzteba and everybody would see it. So what does Reb Meir say to that? No, there were no such two chalas that they put out two and then they put away one and then they put away both. What does Reb Meir do with that? So it must be according to Reb Yanai's pshat that not that Rabbi Yehuda is saying we did this on an annual basis. Anytime we had these extra toidos, because blood spilled out, we used to do it then. How often did this happen throughout Reb Yehuda's lifetime? Maybe once, maybe twice. And therefore, Reb Meir says, I don't remember that story, and I don't remember anything like that. So therefore, it's not schwer why Reb Meir is ignoring this time-honored annual custom, because it wasn't a time-honored annual custom. According to Reb Yanai, it only happened once in history, or once in a bloomer. Anyway, yeah, Robert, you have a question?
I didn't understand about the Itzhak voice, how it came into the scene and what use the Itzhak voice had in the rabbis and so forth. We bring a braisa to prove it. What is this all about?
Back in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda wanted to bring proof to his halacha that you're allowed to go and eat until 10, then 1 hour you wait, and then after that, after 11, you go and burn. So says Rabbi Yehuda, don't you remember on the Harabayis every single year, according to the first pshat anyway, they used to go and have these big benches and where people used to sit on the Harabayis. Remember, and we're not talking about today when everybody is a Sofik Tzumei Mes. We're talking about then that everybody had the Hazor Shlishu Shvi, so you're allowed to go on the Harabayis and sit down on the benches there, and they had roofs over it, said Rashi, because just in case it's going to go and rain. So there were structures on the Harabayis that people were able to sit down in where they had the benches. On Erev Pesach, on top of that, somebody went up on a high ladder, put up two big chalis toida, and people were able to see it from some distance. And as long as they saw two, they said, oh, we're allowed to eat all of our chametz. And then once they took away one, they said, okay, we can no longer eat, we have to get ready for burning. Once they took away both of them, it's now time to go and burn the chametz.
What the circle inside the circle means? What are we accomplishing by that?
We're not accomplishing, we're just telling a historical story. How did it look? If you go into Lehavdil, an amphitheater, you'll also see everybody sitting around in a circle of these large benches. And he's saying that's the way the stoves were arranged, that was the construction. But not that we learn any halacha from it, it's just he's telling us historically the structure.
In the Harabais, it was not a problem to sit in the
Harabais. You're now going to sit in the Azorah. The only one, Ein Yeshiva Bazorah El Lamalchi Beis Dov Bilvot. That's the Azorah. Yeah. That's the actual Beis HaMikdash itself. We're talking about the Harabais, which is on top of the mountain, but not in the Beis HaMikdash itself. In other words, as you approached the Beis HaMikdash, you had the Chil, and you had the Ezer Snoshim, only after that you have the Azorah.
What did they use these benches for the seat of Sanhedrin or anything?
These were for the elderly, for the infirm, for the children, and for all those people that wanted to go and have a good time and sit down and rest their weary legs.
And Rashi says for the rain, the sun.
Oh, for the Rashi's rain, the sun, they had the ceiling. But the benches were there for people that were tired. Yes, you sat on the ceiling, obviously, sure. You don't sit on top of the gag, it's together with the chalice. You're going to get rain on you, or you're going to get sun. Okay, anyway, back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tana. Now we have another brice, Mishum Reb Lozer, four lines to the bottom. Mishum Reb Lozer, Amruk Sheiris saw you, like we just said, according to Rabbi Yanai, Kol Zman Shemun Nochais, as long as they're sitting there, Kol Am Oichlin, then as long as they were there, people would eat. When one was taken away, they didn't eat any longer, but they didn't have to burn yet. When both were taken away, and then everybody went to go and burn their chametz. Now, what is this braisa telling us more than the braisa that we had before? If you look at the toises only in the bottom, why are you leaving them until the shasa isa? So Toisi says we're talking about, like we said earlier, like Ram Gamliel of our Mishnah, that Truma Kol Chomesh V'lach Meitoida has the same din as Truma, meaning this is not the same Pshat as Rabbi Yanai. This is Pshat number 3, that the Lach Meitoida were there on top of the Itzdeba, and you're allowed to go and eat Lach Meitoida as long as you're allowed to go and eat Truma according to Ram Gamliel. How late can you go and eat Truma according to Ram Gamliel?
After the 5th hour.
And including the 5th hour. Right? So Chometz you have to stop at 4th hour, and then you have another hour to eat your Truma, and after that you have to go and burn it. Ah! So the Lach Meitoida, when they took the first, when they had two Lach Meitoida were on top, everybody ate all of their Chulin. When the first Lach Meitoida was removed, everybody stopped eating Chulin. The Kahanim ate their Truma, and the Kahanim ate, or anybody ate like that, the Lach Meitoida. Oh, it has the same status like Truma, says Toises. When they took away both of them, that means it's already 11 o'clock, that hour has passed. Then, Schnell, before the 11 o'clock, in other words, at 10:55, Schnell take off the second Lechem Toida, so that it could still be consumed before 11 o'clock, like the Truma and stuff. And then, at 11:01, we start getting ready for the party. Good, so that's what Toisi says, at the last couple of minutes, quickly eat it before this man. Apparently this man would hold that you are allowed to go and bring a toido on Erev Pesach, because if it was from Yud Gimel, it would be noiser and he wouldn't be able to eat it. Good. Alright. Zokti Maritani, Abishol Oimer. Abishol says there was another way of demonstrating this siren-like alarm type of situation.
Signal.
Oh, shkoyach. Instead of doing it based on two lach meitoida, or maybe in addition to it, Abishol Oimer shtei poris hayu chorishes b'har mishcha. There were two cows that were chorish. Chorish means that they were plowing on har mishcha. Har mishcha is what we call today har zesim. Kol zman shtei chorishes. As long as those two were plowing away, And everybody was able to eat. And he tells Zachlishim when they took away one of them, both of them went away. Then why does the Braisa tell us this? Presumably to address the excellent question that Reb Simcha asked about 10, 15 minutes ago. What about all those people that are not around the Har HaBayis? They're on other parts of Yerushalayim. And perhaps other communities also mimic this, and they did it not on Har HaMishcha, but in Tel Aviv and in Bnei Brak. They perhaps also had these two parais. And as long as the two are there, then you can eat. They took away one. Oichlam Leisarfin took away both. Good. But there's another very interesting point, and that is, as you know, in many communities, the minig is not to do work on Erev Pesach. Virtually everywhere after Chatzos. In Yerushalayim, the minig was already on Erev Pesach. In the morning, they didn't do malacha. So how would these two poreis being chorshois b'har mishcha, you know, to do work if there's an Issur malacha on Erev Pesach? So the top toise says, it's not real. It was all just virtual. They weren't really harshes. It looked like they were harshes. You look at the top toisish, they part of the harshes. Yerushalmi daik, Yerushalayim, leimokim shenogu boy, sholidasis malacha. In all likelihood, Yerushalmi says, they did have the minig not to do malacha, because people that came on to Oile Regel for Pesach, they came from everywhere. They didn't just come from New York. Many came from Kishkan Halosh, and from Diyun Jush, and from Shatra Oye Uhel, and from Ketchkemet, and many other different places. And in many of those Mekoymis, the minig was not to do Moloch on Erev Pesach. So for sure, in Yerushalayim, since you have a melting pot of Gibbetz Kolias, in all likelihood, the vast majority, if not everybody, was knowing not to do Moloch. Says so, he says, Mishani, and Yerushalmi says, the whole thing was just a show. It wasn't really true. It looked like the poros were walking back and forth, and everybody said, oh, it's harshes. They weren't doing harshes because they didn't do any malach at all. It was just to give that signal to stop eating chametz. Have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos. Tomorrow we start the wonderful Sigur B'chaninah Skana Koyanim, which will take us a few days, which will be Osek B'tuma V'tahara. So Rabbi Yisai, gird your belts. Okay, wait for tomorrow's mission. Have a good day. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. The boys I mentioned we're going to learn at practice.